Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
All right, Brad, I have spent the last 24 hours trying really hard not to be upset about Max Pass at Disneyland.
And you've now managed to not be upset about it and to be really excited about the most awesomest thing ever?
I'm in the middle of those two. It's definitely not the most awesome thing ever, but...
Okay. Well, let's talk about what Max Pass is. It's at Disneyland, which Disneyland only had paper Fast Passes. So it is an expansion, and let's talk about exactly what Max Pass is, because my initial thought was the same thing, but the more that I've looked at it, I'm actually now on the I would probably get Max Pass and not feel bad about getting it when I went to Disneyland boat. Because It doesn't just, it's not, so it is Fast Pass Plus. It's Fast Pass Plus for Disneyland, right? Because You can, so for those of you who did not experience the good old days of Fast Pass or have forgotten the good old days of Fast Pass, Disneyland still has the paper Fast Pass kiosk. So you get in the park, you run to whatever attraction you want to go get a Fast Pass for. Actually, you send one person with everybody's ticket. And they go up to the little Fast Pass kiosk. They run the tickets through. It prints out a little piece of paper that says, come back between 3 and 4 p.m. And then you get in the Fast Pass line, right? So kind of like what you're doing with Fast Pass Plus, except paper ticket.
Right.
Max Pass gives you the ability to do that same thing, but from your cell phone. It also gives you unlimited high quality downloads of your PhotoPass pictures for that day, which to me is what differentiates Max Pass from something that I think is silly to something that I think is really useful. Because now let's note that the current $10 a day Disney, every time they say something about it, at least in the blog post that they put out, it seemed like they were very clear to say introductory price, which I think is code for will be more expensive if people buy it.
Yeah.
But to me, $10 for PhotoPass for a day is a pretty darn good deal. I mean, don't you think so?
I think $10 a day for PhotoPass is good, but it's not called, I mean, I guess the word pass is in both PhotoPass and FastPass.
Which is the reason that it's the Max Pass.
Yeah. But I really feel like they're definitely positioning it more as this like cool FastPass thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's very clear that the FastPass is a big part of it. But again, I think the PhotoPass thing makes it worth it. And as if I wasn't getting the Max Pass, I don't think I would be upset that Disney's doing this, because here's the stipulations about Max Pass that make me more okay with it. Max Pass is still limited to a single Fast Pass at a time. So if you get the Fast Pass for Toy Story Midway Mania, you can't also get a Fast Pass for California Screamin' until you've used Toy Story Midway Mania, which is the exact same way the paper Fast Passes work. Once you've redeemed yours once your time period has passed for Toy Story Midway Mania, you can then go grab one for California Screamin' if there are any left. So you still have that stipulation. And the other, I think, big part of making me okay with this, you must be inside the park to make your Max Pass reservations.
See, all of those things are what makes it seem silly to me. Like, one, why does making Fast Passes on your phone, why does that have to cost money? Because this seems like a great thing to be able to make Fast Pass reservations the way that paper Fast Passes are. I would almost prefer if Fast Pass Plus was that way.
Where you'd actually, where instead of, what is it, 30 days out or whatever it is right now, you know, yeah, you actually just came in day of and were responsible for making your Fast Passes once you entered the park.
Yep. And get rid of paper Fast Pass kiosks, but keep that exact system just digital. I love that. I think that's a great thing. And I think that having to be in the park is totally smart and a way to, again, keep the original FastPass idea of having a piece of paper and being, you know, physically near a really good thing. Why does that have to be $10? Are the only reason that I can think that has to be $10 is servers, you know, like it like some sort of back end thing. There's just no reason for that to cost $10. If they want to do MaxPass, it should be PhotoPass. But making FastPasses, especially this way where it works exactly like paper FastPass, should not be a premium thing.
Well, I think it's $10, not because of servers, not because... I think it's $10 because they went, you know what, would people be willing to pay $10 for this?
But it doesn't offer any new ideas is my problem. It's the exact same thing. You know, if Disney had said, hey, FastPass Plus is in testing, it's going to be $10 a day, but here's what you do. You know, you can 30 days out of your vacation log on and book FastPasses. That would make more sense to me because it's a brand new way of doing that. It's a new paradigm of making FastPass reservations. But this offers no new ideas. It's the exact same experience just on your phone.
Except that you don't have to go to the attraction in order to make the FastPasses, right?
Right, right.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I'm kind of surprised that you would make the argument that you would be okay with FastPass Plus is in testing and it's $10 a day and here's all the stuff that you get if you're willing to pay $10 a day while everybody else is still going to be using paper FastPasses, because I think the one thing that makes me really okay with them, you know, trying this $10 a day is there's a free option and you can use the free option and it doesn't really put you at any disadvantage, or if you just want the added functionality of being able to make the fast pass on your phone, not being able to game the system to get any more fast passes than any other person, or somehow end up in a different, I guess, echelon maybe.
Right.
None of that is happening. But if, say, for example, Disneyland was to start testing the Fast Pass Plus system where you could make 3 fast passes 30 days out, and meanwhile, anybody who didn't want to pay $10 was limited to whatever fast passes were left the day of when they decided to show up at the parks. I mean, that would be a lot worse than this MaxPass plan.
So I say I'm okay if they had said FastPass Plus is in testing, you know, pay $10, knowing that FastPass Plus was going to become free and the only way to book fast passes at Walt Disney World.
Right.
You know, in MaxPass, I mean, if this way of booking fast passes becomes the only way of doing fast pass and becomes free, you know, then that's fine, but it doesn't sound like it is, especially when they say this is introductory pricing and just the way that they're positioning this as a premium thing. It doesn't seem that they're going that way and that paper fast passes are going to stick around for at least a little while longer at Disneyland. So I know I'm usually the stickler person who says like they shouldn't upcharge for anything, but in that case, you know, if they had told me, like when I went to Disney and, or if I'm going to Walt Disney World and they had told me, hey, we still have paper fast passes, but we also have this new system that we're developing. It's called FastPass Plus. You can pay $100 and your entire party for the entirety of your stay can have access to FastPass Plus and book your fast passes in advance and do all this. And then after you get done, you know, we're going to give you a survey and all this stuff to ask you how it was. If they had done that and positioned it that way, like this is the new thing that you can pay to be a part of, that's eventually going to be the thing, I'm okay with that.
I mean, yeah, it's, to me, this is premium parking. And again, I don't want other people to have to suffer and I don't feel like they are. So if somebody wants to spend $10, and again, I think I would find myself in the group of people willing to spend $10 to not have to go, you know, not have to rush as soon as I get into the park to run to that first fast pass and everything. And, but more so than that, again, to me, the bigger thing is $10 a day, unlimited photo paths. So I don't know. That's just my personal opinion. And I think if this
photo,
is
photo pass to me is definitely the more valuable thing.
Absolutely.
Also.
Absolutely. And I don't, if it didn't have that and it was just you can make your fast passes on your phone or you can continue doing paper fast passes, I'd be like, no, that's not worth $10. I'm not spending $10. I can go walk to, you know, the Matterhorn or whatever for $10.
Right.
So I guess the question is, if this becomes really, really popular, and let's say 70% of guests are taking Disney, I don't really think it would be that high, but let's just say 70%. Do you think the price goes up, or do you think that becomes, do you think there's a number out there where they're saying, let's see how bad people want this, and if they really, really want it, then we can do away with the paper FastPass kiosks?
That is what I hope is happening. That's what I hope would
happen.
Or do they say,
oh, well, now let's up it to $20 a day and see if they'll still pay.
That is what I fear will happen.
Well,
is that it will be, and they've done something genius in adding PhotoPass in. They can up it to $20 and just use PhotoPass as the, I don't know, red herring or whatever, because PhotoPass is totally different.
And to some extent, I agree with you. I think the way that we have all been introduced to it, and I don't even know, I don't know, it's hard to say that the way Disney has chosen to introduce us, because again, looking back to the blog post, which if you guys check the show notes, there's a link in there where you can read them for yourself, or read the blog post for yourself. But they say, you know, we're launching the Max Pass, which allows guests to maximize their experience by providing unlimited downloads of their high resolution photo pass images and enabling the convenience of mobile booking and redemption for the Disney Fast Pass return times. So they present photo pass as the first thing in this. This is the, you know, this is the first thing that we want to hit you with. And you also get this mobile booking. But I think meanwhile, those of us in the Disney, again, social echo chamber see the fast pass aspect of it and go, they're charging $10 for fast passes.
Well, I think this is, again, I think it's a little bit of that, where people who, you know, are in the Twitter sphere or whatever see this and kind of have a little mini freak out. But at the same time, I mean, they are charging to enable mobile booking. It seems weird. Like, this is clearly a PhotoPass service to me. And why is mobile booking of fast passes just tacked onto it?
I to some extent, I wonder if it's not to test how popular will mobile booking be. Will people really latch on to that? And if they do, then maybe we can clear the way to finally get rid of all that space taken up by those kiosks. And I don't know, make the lines longer, or, you know, throw in an extra gift shop, or have an extra churro cart.
But why not just let people do it then? That's what I'm confused on. Why not, instead of saying like, hey, this is a thing that's included with MaxPass, why not just say, hey, we're testing or you know, try mobile booking
because we want to drive sales of MaxPass. And maybe that's, so for you and I, PhotoPass is the thing that says that's worthwhile. But they're also banking on, for some people, maybe the FastPass aspect of it is what pushes them over the edge into spending the $10. And at the end of the day, however they get their $10, they want their $10. Because at the end of the day, Disney is still a company.
Yeah.
Who seeks to make money. And they don't just seek to make money on that coast. They also seek to make money on the other coast, because they have finally told us exactly what all is going to be involved in that. What is it? 7 hour Star Wars guided tour.
Yeah.
At Disney's Hollywood Studios. So again, check your show notes for the link to this, but you will be Seeing stars during a screening of the movie Star Wars Path of the Jedi. You know, the thing that's at Launch Bay.
Yeah.
You will go witness the Star Wars A Galaxy Far, Far Away and March of the First Order. Both things that, you know, are normally happening, but you get a reserved viewing area for those things. You're going to go do the Jedi training, Trials of the Temple, and I guess maybe your kids are definitely going to get picked if you go and do this.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would sure hope that they don't get, you know, passed over. You get to go do Star Tours. You get dinner at Backlot Express, because don't forget this is 7 hours, so we got to stop for food sometime in here. You get to go do photos with Chewbacca and Kylo Ren, which, again, also are regularly available.
But those two are for Disney Visa members, aren't they?
No, Darth Vader is Disney Visa.
Oh,
those two. Okay. Those two are the normal, like the normal. But I would assume you get to skip the line to do character greeting. You know, character meet and greets.
I would hope so.
You get to go look at the Star Wars launch bay, because that's impossible to do if you're not on the Star Wars guided tour, folks. You get to do the Galactic Spectacular dessert party to watch the Galactic Spectacular fireworks, and then you get a personalized souvenir. So that is your 7 hour. Day, and the price on that clocks in at $121.12 per adult. And currently there is no child pricing listed on Disney. You're welcome to look at, you know, again, we'll have it in the show notes. Maybe by the time you guys look, there will be some pricing showing up there for kids.
It'll be $4 cheaper for kids.
You think so?
I don't know. That's how much all the park tickets are.
$4.10.
Yeah. $90 for adults, $86 for children.
Yeah. So in comparison to the whole Max Pass cash grab, this feels a lot more like a cash grab to me.
Yes.
Just like,
yeah, I totally agree.
Blatant cash grab. Because, again, and I've done dessert parties. I've done the Keys to the Kingdom tour, which I thought was really cool, even though all they did was walk you around. The difference was you got something in addition to just getting to go ride some rides, in that you got a lot of information about Disney. And I don't know that I want to get, and I love Star Wars, but I don't know that I want to sit around for 7 hours of Star Wars information.
Yeah.
And again, to basically do stuff that I can do in 7 hours. Seven hours. This is you're committing to a day in the parks with this, this thing going on. I don't know. Yeah, it just messes me up.
This is perplexing.
Yeah.
I mean, just,
what positive are we supposed to take from this?
Yeah, and like, okay, so I am a huge Star Wars fan. I love Star Wars. I would gladly do a 7 hour tour, like, of Star Wars. You know, like at Lucasfilm, let's say. I would pay, you know, the $150 to go on a 7 hour tour of Lucasfilm and hear somebody tell me about Star Wars and all that stuff. I mean, there's an hour long tour at Space Center Houston that I really love. I mean, I'm into tours. Take me to, you know, places where stuff happened. This is the room where we first, you know, where we shot the title crawl for Star Wars, blah, 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 whatever. This just seems like you're going to have a guide who's going to say, like, hey, This is Jedi Training Academy. Okay, everyone, follow me. This is Star Tours. Okay, everyone, follow me. This is Backlot Express, a quick service restaurant. Like, and it's just, I don't, you know, obviously we don't know what the tour guide's going to say and stuff, because nobody's done it yet. But I mean, this just, talking about what the value add of something is, like, this doesn't seem to add value on the surface, at least. You know, I guess if you have a really good tour guide who really loves Star Wars, while you're walking around to these places and like in line to do things and stuff, maybe they're giving you some extra information. But
surely the tour guides are going to be, I'm sure the tour guides are going to be trained to know a lot of Star Wars, sure, trivia and facts to give you. But I think so. Well, here's
how big are the groups going to be?
Again,
that's a big question for me.
We don't know, but probably
is this
going to
be me and four other people, or is this going to be me and like 10 other people?
I would say you and 10 other people is a lot more likely than you and four. Well, the popularity may mean you and four other people, but I would imagine the group sizes will be set up for you and 10 other people easily.
See, like a group of 12 or 15, I think is too much.
Yeah.
That's too many people.
Yeah. I'm not sure where like this. The only tour experience I have is the Keys to the Kingdom. And that was probably 12 people or so. And it worked out. And now they give you like, at least I've had it where they've given you like a little radio and you put it in your ear and the tour guide actually has a mic so you can hear them really clearly even if they're not right next to you. Yes. Which is super helpful.
Yeah, and I would assume that they would do that for.
Yeah, I assume they do that for all of their tours. But, you know, the thing that you brought up that's interesting to me is, like you said, going to Lucasfilm, you would be interested in doing that because they could take you somewhere and say, here's where we shot the opening crawl for Star Wars. You can't do any of that at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Right.
You know, because nothing happened at Disney's Hollywood. I mean, you could go with the history of Star Tours, which would be interesting to me, but the, you know, history of Star Wars launch bay, not so much.
Right. We built this 8 months ago.
Right. Yeah. Well, we gutted some other things and we didn't have anything else to go in here. And we said, hey, we've got Star Wars now. So let's put this launch bay thing in here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So again, $121 for that. It includes the dessert party, which I looked in. The dessert party for an adult is $69. So you are getting a $70 value include there. And we don't know how the Backlot Express dinner is going to be set up. I think it's very, you know, it's going to be some sort of a buffet setting. And because, you know, I know that like that's where they did the Osborne Lights dessert party, and the actual Backlot Express wasn't involved at all. They had just set up catered stuff in that area. So I could see them doing something similar for this, but
yeah, I was gonna say, how could they do a buffet? It's a quick service restaurant.
Yeah, they set up their own tables and stuff.
Gotcha.
But even then, I mean, what, $30-$40? Let's, because again, we're talking, before you guys think I'm crazy, remember we're talking vacation prices for food. $30-$40. So then you're sitting at what, $100? Is all the other stuff even worth $20?
Backlot's not going to be $30 or $40 a person.
Well, I'm saying if they brought in other food, better food.
Oh,
you know, I would eat at Backlot Express, but yeah, it's not $30 or $40 food. But even I'm trying to go like best case scenario. So right. You dropped $100, or you've got $100 worth of value, let's say, between the dessert party and your dinner. Is the other stuff even worth $20 to you?
It's weird to be locked into it.
But that's the other thing. Is it worth $20 in 7 hours?
Right. The thing that I don't particularly like about this is, you know, like if I want to go ride Star Tours and then be done until the dessert party, like I'm going to feel like I'm missing out on what I paid for.
Because like you are.
If you want to do the first thing, you know, if what you really care about is whatever item number one on the list is, and then you don't care anymore, like, is it going to be a big deal for you to break away from the group? Especially if you have one of those earpieces in, you know, you're not going to be able to just walk away or whatever. Like,
yeah, but surely you can just hand the earpiece off to the
sure
guide and say, I'm out. Cause
right.
Like what, why would they stop you?
Yeah. And it's just like the being locked into this 7 hour tour and not being able to say, well, I'd rather do Star Tours now instead of Path of the Jedi.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, why am I going to go
their schedule?
Yeah, why am I going to go do Path of the Jedi? Because I don't have kids, so I don't care about Path of the Jedi. I want to go ride Star Tours, you know, three more times while you guys are doing that. Or right. Excuse me, not Path of the Jedi, the Jedi training Trials of the Temple. Or I would rather go do Star Tours than Path of the Jedi. I think that's something you should go see, but I've seen it once, so why would I want to go see it again, I guess is kind of my thought. I don't know, dude. That is such a weird tour to me. And you know what? It's very possible that we'll, you know, people will go and do it and we'll hear some stuff about it that we're not aware of now, and it will be amazing. And I'm okay with changing my tone on it at some point.
Sure.
But yeah, based on the data that we have,
My question right now is just, why is it so long? And is it constant? I mean, is there an hour in there where they're like, you know, everybody go do your own thing for an hour and then we'll meet back up?
I doubt it. I mean, there's 9 things in there, right? And so what you're talking about, what, 40 minutes for each thing? I don't know. I don't want to do all the math right now in my head.
No, but so if you don't have to wait in line for Star Tours, Star Tours is a 15-minute thing.
True.
Especially if you have some, like, better than Fast Pass, you know, absolutely no wait, cut to the front of the line.
Well, basically, they could bring you in the... Either they're going to run you through the Fast Pass line, or they're going to bring you in the exit and let you go right from there. I would hope they'd run you through the Fast Pass line, so at least you get to see the queue.
Yeah. And then, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, because yeah,
we can go through and time everything out, I guess. But
well, and we're gonna come up with it's a lot shorter than 7 hours because, like you said, yeah. If you do that and then you do the character greetings and you don't have to wait in line for those are, well, I guess though, if you have 10 or 12 people and each person gets 5 minutes per character, and it could start to add up, but
yeah,
7 hours. Okay, here's the thing, not for me and seems crazy to me.
Right.
However, if you want to go and do it, listener out there, I will harbor no ill will toward you. I'll just think you're a little bit crazy, but it's okay because, let's be honest, you think I'm a little bit crazy too. So we're all on the same page.
And that is a thing I've been trying to, I guess, say more, is it's not for me. Not that it's stupid or that you know, it's not worth the money or anything, but it's just not for me. Like, I would never do that. But if there's
no, it's not worth the money to me.
Yeah, right.
I don't think we shouldn't say that. I just think we just need to stipulate to me.
You're right.
And then we're all good. We can say whatever we want, just to me. You know, we're from the South. Just, you know, bless their heart. they went on Star Tours for they did Star Wars for 7 hours at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Bless their hearts.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. The show is on YouTube now. You can search for Missing the Mouse on YouTube. We can't have a custom URL until we have 100 subscribers. So please go to YouTube, find our channel, and subscribe so that we can get youtube.com/MTM Podcast as well. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a magical day.